14-1-4, as the numbers would go. We are here once again. It is Sunday, November 29th, or whatever day you're listening to this. It's Monday, it's the 30th. Think about it. It could be the future. We're talking from the past. Yeah, so another week done. We got a bunch of stuff to kind of talk about. Welcome to, you know, we're going to talk about some more video games. That'll be fun. You know, the cool video game corner where all the kids are talking about computer electronic games. We're in the cool zone for you kids out there.
Yep, that was the cool kids in school growing up. The kids who sat around talking about the video games.
Yeah.
At lunch table.
That was me, actually.
Welcome to cool zone population. A lot of bad 3D games.
Yeah.
Some involving traps and murder and
diabolic plots.
Diabolic plots of boxes falling on heads.
Yep.
A lot of stuff happening. But before we get into that, I guess if you have to really want to talk about it, we can kind of just go over Survivor Series was last week, and I'm sure everyone who's listening probably already knows everything that's going on, but hey, you want to hear our opinion, right? Right?
Right? Well, especially mine, since I called.
Yeah.
I knew that something terrible was going to happen. I'm a soothsayer.
And you know what's sad? I had faith that they weren't going to do it, and then sure enough, they did.
All right. Ryan, give us a Cole's notes of what happened. We'll rant a little bit.
Well, what happened was that Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose had like a 9-minute match in this tournament they built up for like 2 weeks for the WWE title.
Just a reminder, it's so stupid.
Yeah, the execution of this was really stupid. So they have a match and it's all right, but they went into near falls like 3 or 4 minutes in. Dean Ambrose pins him. Roman Reigns pins Dean Ambrose clean in the middle in a very anticlimactic manner. So Roman Reigns is the new champion. They all celebrate. He has big pyro, big fanfare and everything. And then Triple H comes out. And he extends his hand. And Reigns sees what's coming. He knows Triple H's deal. So he spears him. That leads to Sheamus coming out. And he cashes in. Oh, and keep in mind, they had a match earlier with him in a random Survivor Series match where he faced off against, like, the Usos and, I don't remember it, but.
Oh, God, that thing.
Yeah.
Before the match.
Yeah, before the match.
Well, I don't know, like, you knew what was going to happen. Like, once that match started, once he was in it, that match was telling you what was going to happen.
So, yes, the booking of the match where he had a face-off against, like, 3 guys, and he fought valiantly to lose. And that was so weird, it sent off signals like...
told you what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, if Sheamus...
He should have gone 3-on-1 and beaten him, because it was 3-deep.
Yes,
because... No, he has to lose, because WWE is in a boat making sense. It's about tricking you, because... That's why when I saw Sheamus enter, I knew this was it. If he gets pinned, he's going to be champion at the end. And
we got to set up Ryback as a future challenger. Obviously.
And Kalisto. Wasn't he in there?
Was Kalisto? Was it?
I think it was like one of the Usos. It was like one of the Usos, Ryback, and I think Kalisto. I think.
It was a poo-poo platter.
Sure. But anyway, Sheamus comes out and they have this match. And keep in mind, he's been booked like a geek for weeks and weeks and weeks. And after, I think, 2 bro kicks, he pins Roman Reigns and he becomes the champion. And Roman Reigns is just sitting there crying and looking sad as the show goes off the air. And, that was like... just fucking terrible finish. Like, the worst thing they could have done. And not just who they put the belt on. It was the way they booked Sheamus on the show that makes it look so stupid in execution. Because even before this match we were talking about, The New Day were cutting a promo, and all of a sudden Sheamus gets a microphone and says, "Let's get jiggy on these posers." And everybody looks at him like he's a total idiot. And then they go ahead and have the match, and he's the one who loses the match.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't book someone to look like a bigger geek. And then he ends up being champion at the end of the show.
Okay, so like, from like 1 to 5, what's the top 5 dumbest things in this match, the way they did everything? Starting, I guess, bottom or the top. But like, because you can't just say, what's the one dumb thing? It's not like, what's the one stupid thing they did? It's
yeah.
Like, there's 4 or 5 major, major issues with the way they built this show.
The only really dumb thing that, well, I mean, on the show, the only really dumb thing that it was the Sheamus match before was made him say that silly thing.
Yeah.
Like, if he lost, I mean, whatever, that's just what they do. I don't really believe in it, but him, he shouldn't, like, him getting beaten up by the people, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
You can argue in that maybe he's like, oh, you know, he got beaten up by 3 people, so of course not, and he fought for it. Like, whatever. I would have done it, but hey.
But the comedy sucks. And it killed them. That match, I mean, we're talking about the Survivor Series match. As soon as it was 3-on-1, Sheamus, the match died. Like, all
yeah.
interest in that match died, because the whole dynamic is screwed.
It made zero sense, because he was the heel.
Like, he could get 3 babies,
yeah.
or a gang attacking him, like, that don't, it didn't, the arena, you just felt the whole energy go out of the match then. It's just like, what's this?
That, it wasn't even a bad match. It just
yeah.
made zero sense towards the end. Because
but
you had this guy taking on 3 baby faces, and people were cheering for him towards the end. They booed the baby faces when they won.
Instead of fighting him fair.
Yeah.
But then the way they did the tournament, like, why?
I mean, for all that build, they had a 9-minute final. That's like the epitome of, like, why did they even bother?
Like, well, if you're going to do a short match, A, why is Dean Ambrose in it? Because, like, you're giving away the big Dean Ambrose-Roman match.
Yeah.
And two, why did Roman have his match at the beginning of the show? Like, wouldn't you want them to have just wrestled so that you can tell the fans, look, they're exhausted, and they don't, like, they've already done the hard work. This is, like, these are 2 guys gutting through after 2 rough, tumbled matches where they've really given it all they've got just to get here, and they don't have much less, and it's like overtime of a football game where just 2 exhausted motherfuckers knocking the shit out of each other. And it's like, okay, well, it doesn't have to go as long then.
Because Roman came out first. Roman came out first because I'm totally positive that if Roman got a crazy reaction in the beginning, it would have kept him as champion.
You know, that might have been true because they literally decided on a stupid finish like minutes before the show started.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
I just want Roman champion. I just want Roman champion. The problem is Sheamus isn't I'm done for a little bit, probably a couple months.
Me too.
Rumble. It's not like a protest for Sheamus being champion. It's just more what it represents, I mean, the show's been good for a while anyway. Like, Raw's been really good for a while.
It's lowest ratings ever on Monday. Not ever, but like since 1997, which is like crazy.
It just represents that they're still turning their wheels. Just do it. Make Roman champion if you want to. See where it goes. But them just doing that is basically saying, hey, just so you know, nothing's going to happen for a couple months. You don't need to watch.
Exactly.
No reason to watch. So I'm just like, okay, well, hey, I guess.
You want me to watch, I guess.
Yeah, this isn't until cruise control mode until Royal Rumble, where Roman Reigns is probably going to win based on what we're seeing right now.
I don't think they'll do that. I think
they will.
Is Roman's going to win the title at the
You know, hey, we said last week Sheamus had no chance and he won. So I mean, they could do anything.
I had a chance, sir. I'll pump up my chest.
yeah.
I think what they're going to do is have him win at the Royal Rumble, and then his challenger will win the Rumble match. I don't think even they think Sheamus is a big. Is something that makes a ton of sense. I think they're like, well, it's the best option we got.
They
I don't think they're sitting there going, Sheamus is our guy, we're going to go into WrestleMania.
their mentality is, we're going to find a guy who's so not over that people are going to boo. That when Roman Reigns comes and gets his butt kicked by him, because and this is another continuation of the authority storyline that's been going on for 3 years. I mean, you know, when you put all that together and you have Roman Reigns get beat down every week, that's supposed to make him like this big baby face. So when he finally does win the title, everybody's going to cheer him.
I think what this is going to end up being is that Sheamus wins. He beats Sheamus at Royal Rumble, and then Triple H puts himself in the Rumble.
I think it's Triple H versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure.
I think that's what it's going to be, and it's going to be, you know, the Triple H putting himself in the Rumble is going to be the big heat thing, and they'll be like, "Wow, people are supposed to do it."
Yeah.
I hope Roman winning the Rumble. Please have Triple H win the Rumble.
Yeah.
Please, oh my God, that'd be so good.
I mean, he's the most over heel on that show right now, so it makes sense.
Yeah, they've made all the other heels, like, have to be shit, so it will never happen.
How that works, too, by the way.
I want that, if I come back to the Rumble, and it's Roman winning the title, and Triple H winning the Rumble, it will be like a dream come true. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Oh, man, my boy dream comes true for... That people would be so angry. It'd be so fucking funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like Roman. I think he's okay. I don't think he's really ready for the top. But you know what?
Nobody is.
Oh, he's fine. I like him. He can't talk, but whatever. He's not bad. I don't know. He's fine.
I mean, they fundamentally don't get why people liked him in the first place. Because, like, nobody ever wanted to see Goldberg cry.
No.
Nobody ever wanted to see the Road Warriors cry.
No.
He's the next generation of that kind of, I mean, there's one that comes around basically every 10 years or so. It's like the unbeatable juggernaut who beats the shit out of everybody and doesn't take no shit and feels no pain and beats ass. That's what he was when he was getting over. And now they've tried to make him like a sensitive soul.
Yeah.
Their instincts on stuff is just totally off.
The worst thing that they did, and, you know, Roman Reigns wasn't over, but he was perfectly fine. The worst thing they did was make him win that Royal Rumble and eliminate Daniel Bryan. I don't get how you do that and you think that's fine. That's, like, the best example of WWE not getting their audience. Just the worst thing you could have done. And he hasn't been over since. I mean, he gets pops here and there, but really he hasn't, like, really taken off like they expected him to.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned earlier, or you might have mentioned in the pre-show discussions, like, it's Lex Luger all over again.
Yes.
In WWE. Because it's not...
But Lex Luger was over.
He's not getting the Cena reaction where half the crowd is just as excited and loves him and is going, "Let's go, Cena!" as loud as they can, and in the other, "Cena sucks!" on the other hand. Because at least...
Lex Luger was over, though.
They like Roman, except... cheer Roman, but then until they think he's going to win. And it's almost like this weird backlash where people just... feel like they didn't choose him, so they're just kind of whining about it, but I don't think they really hate him. I just think it's just, like...
They cheer him.
Until he wins.
They cheer him, but it's never like, "Yay, he's our favorite." It's like, "Yeah, I like him." Yay. It's not the passion that the Cena fans had when he was getting split reactions. There's nowhere near the same level of passion for him.
He gets split.
And then when it comes time for Rumble, and when it comes time for WrestleMania, when you have the import crowd, they're fucking out of there.
At least
it's passion when it's "fuck this guy."
Yeah, when they chant for Cena and they boo him or cheer him, whatever, it's very passionate. When Roman Reigns comes out, he gets a fine response. I mean, like, whatever. Like, not a lot of people get responses
it's a
right now.
"Oh, this again." Kind of reaction, which to me, that's death. Like, there's nowhere to go from there. But they keep stalling this out. Like, "Okay, if we just do this, then it'll work. Oh, it's not working. Okay, let's do this." It's just put it on him, see if it goes. Mark can tell you it's not. Brad will tell you it's not. You can tell him not. Dave Meltzer can tell you not. Wade Keller, Everybody in the world is... Because you keep prolonging and prolonging and prolonging something that's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Put it on him. It ain't working. It ain't going to work. And just live with the fact that this shit didn't work. And go on to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, I want him champion. I think he's fine. I like it. It's just let him. I said, you know, there's not too much to say, but it's just like, you know, just let him be a cool guy. Doesn't really talk, and they're just trying to make him like the happy-go-lucky like babyface. It just doesn't work for him because he just can't. And he just can't. I don't know. There's not really much to say. I'm done for a little bit. I'm gonna just give it some time. NWA is on the WWE Network, so I'm just gonna watch that. Grand old time.
Oh yeah, the WCW World Championship Wrestling.
Yep, all those ones from
1985 through 1987.
Yeah, that stuff was apparently all on NWA Classics, and they finally put it up. And fun, you know, watching it and seeing other people watch it and sitting around going, "Oh man, this stuff was pretty good." Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad they added it, so I'm hoping they add more, because from what I've seen, they have a lot, but they don't have it, like all the weeks, or all the episodes in order, so I want to see, like, the build to Starrcade 85, because I've heard that's really good.
The show's not too great, but people were hot for all the matches.
What was the headline by Dusty and Flair?
Yeah, and I get some of those shows mixed up, but oh, that was the one with Dusty in the Boot. Yeah, that was a good main event.
Yeah.
The Starrcade before it is when they had like a 9-minute match, and you're like, what? That's all? that was the Joe Frazier bleeding stoppage way too soon, and then they have like 30 minutes. Because that's the other thing. If you haven't watched any of the old Starrcades. The original Starrcades, all of them have like 20 minutes at the end of just people sitting around with their thumb up their ass going, huh,
yeah.
That was a show. What? Well, thank you, wrestling fans, for watching.
a lot of the NWA shows did that. It was really, they ended, like, they just, yeah, I don't know why exactly, but there's always, yeah, there's like 20-minute segments at the end where they kind of recap stuff and do whatever. It's just like a post-show or something.
Yeah. I guess it's just a different mentality back then.
It was the early days of pay-per-view, and they were trying stuff, and they had to figure out, well, we can't do that. That's stupid. Let's not do that anymore.
The first WrestleMania, if you've ever seen, like, the live footage, it's a very different show. I mean, it's like, just production-wise, everything looks so different. And everybody looked nervous as hell. I mean, Lord Alfred Hayes looked really nervous at the first WrestleMania. Like, I felt bad for him because he was just standing there all, like, freaking out. But, I mean, yeah, back in the really early days of pay-per-view, they were trying a bunch of stuff, and some of it worked, some of it didn't, but it was a new concept for them. It was good to try it out, at least.
And some stuff,
you can't end it like that. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they were trying to emulate a sports broadcast, which, yeah. Okay, that's fair, but, yeah, if you want to end with, like, 3 minutes of that, okay, that might work, but it's 20 minutes, and the post-show interviews, and I'd just assume have a longer match, guys.
Yeah, true. Oh.
You know, especially that Starrcade 84, where the thing's over in 9 minutes, and you're left there going, what? That's it? That's all I get?
But now you can see what happens afterwards, except not for Starrcade 84. You can't for Starrcade 85!
I'm supposed to be doing reviews of all that soon on the Observer website. I'm supposed to have done it, like, a few weeks ago, but I've had such, I'm pretty busy. Keep myself busy, so I haven't done any yet. I have, like, a half-written Starrcade 83 review. Like, the match between Abdullah the Butcher and Carlos Colon, where they, like, played, like, a minute into the match. That's really interesting.
Yeah. for like this that's the other thing about the Crockett shows. It's like, God, everybody was razor blade.
Yes.
Like running through razor blade factory for nothing matches.
Like, yes, there's like a prelim match that opened the show, and I forget who it was. I think it was Scott McGee, who got like bladed like big time, and I'm like, who's this guy and why is he like blading? And gigging like big time. And then I think they had like a promo in the back and he looked like near death and nobody did anything to him. Like, he looked like he should have been in the hospital and people were just standing around doing promos and I'm like, you know, this guy's like looks like he's half dead. Why isn't he at the hospital?
I was watching one of those NWA shows and like Black Bart's doing an interview and it's like, is Black Bart? Who gives a shit? And he takes his hat off, and his forehead is a horror. Like, his forehead just looks like the most enduring horror you've ever seen in your life. And it's like, Black Bart! That guy never made money for anybody. Why is he cutting himself in all of his matches?
Yeah.
Like, I understand blood turns green and da-da-da-da-da-da. But when you're fucking Black Barts of the world, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Everybody blamed back then. I guess that's just
especially
part of wrestling.
Like, it's all blood. Watch Starrcade 85 and 86. Like, Starrcade 85 is like, it's like one of the bloodiest pay-per-views you can watch on the network.
Yeah. Which one?
Starrcade 85, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I know the first one's rated TVMA because of all the blood.
Yeah, I think that's almost entirely because of that damn dog collar match.
Yes, I haven't seen that yet. I've heard it's really
that
bloody.
I wouldn't even call it a good match. Nothing
on that show was really a good match, I don't remember it, but yes.
Starrcade 83 I thought was good. Starrcade 84, I remember watching that and going, this is a pile of shit.
Starrcade 84 was the Million Dollar Match, was it?
Yeah. With Starrcade 83, and at least with Starrcade 83, like, every match has somebody you've heard of. Starrcade 84 and 85, the undercard, you're like, I don't even remember that guy from Adam. I don't know who this is. This is some guys wrestling a match for a period of time until it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet. No, you're making me really look forward to watching it.
but there is good stuff on it. It's not bad.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I looked up 84 and like Ari just reminded me of like, oh man, Paul Jones, Jimmy Valiant, Jesse Byer, Mike Graham, Ryan Davis, Mike Rido. Like, oh.
You just bring in some Florida guys to have a match, and you're like, I don't know anything about Florida.
Ivan versus Ole Anderson, Keith Lee,
Wahoo,
and Billy Graham in a 4-minute match.
Wow.
And somebody mentioned, like, oh man, Hulk Hogan just went to the store and bought some Billy Graham tights when he did the 2002 run. Like, he's just wearing Billy Graham stuff at that point. Like, at least in the 80s, he was trying to wear his own gear. It was like, well, I'm not dressed exactly like it, but then there just came a point where he's like, yep, I'm just going to cosplay as Billy Graham.
Yeah. I'm watching that run, too, right now. Boy, are those, like, right after the brand split, those shows aren't really that good. they're trying to do all these different things, and nothing's, like, really clicking.
I would just term that as the sweaty desperation era of WWE.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta get the fans back. Try this. All right, let's have Hunter fuck a dead body.
Oh, yeah, there's like
whatever, anything.
Yeah, I haven't gone that far. I've gone back. I've gone to the summer. This is like the start of the summer, so we haven't gone that far yet. But yeah, things will get even sadder by the end of the year. But really, I'm watching this stream just so I can watch the OVW tapes. Because those are, like, really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Well, it's way more interesting than Raw.
Is it interesting good or interesting?
It's easy to watch. You know, those OVW tapes are really easy to watch because Jim Cornette goes out of his way to explain every storyline. Lots of recaps, lots of music videos. It's a very, very easy show to watch, especially if, like, the last episode aired, like, while I was sleeping or away or something. I would be caught up, like, pretty quickly. I'm not saying, like, the wrestling's great or anything, but all the storylines make sense. And they actually made David Flair look kind of competent, so I'd say it's a pretty good show. Just for that.
Yeah, so, that's fun. Survivor Series. And anyway, which I'm going to be watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, alright. So, yeah, let's go talk about some more video games. Wrestling video games. What are they? Where did they come from? Today, on Nightline, we will find it.
It all starts when a very happy wrestling video game daddy and a wrestling video game mom.
When a girl wrestling game and a boy wrestling game hate each other very much, they released Def Jam Fight for New York, which came out on September 20th, 2000. So what's interesting about this one, it's made by Aki, so everyone's favorite, except mine, wrestling video game maker company. Did not have the wrestling license. I thought, you know what? You know who makes a good wrestler? DMX. So they did. The game, I played it when it came out a little bit. I don't know. I kind of played a little bit to prepare for today. And it's like a faster version of those older hockey games with like weird arcade elements and a lot more button spamming. I don't know.
Well, was this in a wrestling ring, or did they fight outside the ring?
It was a wrestling ring.
Okay.
There's a video starts the game where it's like, there's like some like evil guy, and he's like, you can't beat me. No one can stop me, and I can fight my generic guys. So you like you and whoever you want to beat, you know, Luda or...
Henry Rollins.
What kind of roster do we have here? Like, who's here? There's Ludacris and...
Well? Yeah, Henry Rollins is in the game. Luda was in it, Henry Rollins, Method Man was in it, Exhibit was in it, Ghostface Killer.
Okay.
A couple of these Def Jam games had notable indie guys at the time, like, especially, like, the ultra-violence wrestling scene. So, what was that guy's name? Like, Gage written on his head. Or something.
Nick Cage?
Nick Mondo.
Okay.
Nick written on his name.
Yeah.
Nick Mondo, something like that.
Basically, like, the first one, there's three of them, three Def Jam games, that came out in that era. They did it was the only real wrestling one, and then, like, Fight Free New York was, like kind of like a hybrid thing, but where it was more, like, it added fighting styles, and it wasn't as good, and then Def Jam Icon was the last one, which was just a straight-up fighting game. But, yeah, like, Vendetta is a weird kind of thing. Where a guy's like, you can't beat me, and then you fight that guy. I forget the name of the guy that was in it.
I never played it.
Great man, Ghostface Killer, they're all in it, man. How would you beat them?
This was not a game for me. It was not designed for me to purchase it.
Yeah.
I never got around to playing them.
I'm kind of interested in seeing how they changed up the fighting system, but I mean, it never appealed to me, so I didn't buy it back in the day.
You guys don't like Dub C?
No.
I don't know
who that is.
I literally don't know what you'd be.
I've heard some of those names.
Well, but what's interesting about it, if you remember, is this game was to be WWE game too.
Yeah.
This was the game that they changed to Mayhem. From Mayhem, which is interesting.
Oh, so this was supposed to be Mayhem 2?
It was supposed to be Mayhem 2, yeah.
Okay.
And then,
what a world to imagine.
Wait, so did Aki go back to WCW then, or...? I don't know
when exactly Aki came on board. That might have been a thing where, like, they started the early production, EA did, and then they just sort of scrapped everything and went, well, Aki's available, let's take him. It'd be hard to figure out the timeline of all that, because No Mercy came out, what, in 2000?
Yes.
So, WCW dies in 2001.
I heard they were going to do a game called Backlash, and then they didn't. I mean, I don't know what happened next or why the next GameCube game they didn't release it, but I don't know.
It was fine when it came out. Playing it again, it kind of aged well. It's interesting. It is a unique game with some unique people in it. But it's real weird. It's real weird. It's like almost as bad as that Snoop Dogg with a dog in it. Overall odd stuff.
Yeah, it was like this period where wrestling had been super, super hot, and everyone was kind of thinking, well, we can just throw people in a wrestling game, and not realizing, you know, wrestling's not hot anymore. Like, you can't just throw people into wrestling. Like, people, there's not this huge market of people that are just going to buy wrestling stuff that there was.
Yeah, this generation we're talking about, which is Xbox, PS2, and GameCube, this came out in 2002, when the wrestling scene had pretty much died off. So you have a lot of concepts and ideas that people want to release and do, but by the time that they came out, wrestling wasn't hot anymore.
It's what was that term that the economists used? Market corrections. Some market corrections are going on, and people are having to learn some lessons.
And yeah, there's like a lot of these games are just kind of weird, like. Trying, like, well, we can't really use them yet, so we used to use the other things, but now we can't, so let's give these a try. Surprise, surprise, none of them work. There's another Aki game, too, that was made with the Kinnikunamon license, the Ultimate Muscle. That came out a couple years after. That's actually more close to, well, because one, it's about wrestling, but it's more akin to those N64 games. I don't know how easy it is to pick up coffee, but it's got announcing and everything in it, and it's based on the English version, so it's got that sweet coffee.
What's it called?
Ultimate Muscle, Legend versus New Generation.
I feel like that game was sold in stores here, because I remember that being at Walmart, and you could like walk up to the machine and play a demo of it.
Oh yeah, it came up here. There's one.
Yeah, I know, but it was like a wide release. Like, it wasn't just like a thing you had to like go to a speakeasy and give a password to like get a hold. Like it was a major release.
Yeah, I mean Fox Kids had that on there when they were doing their anime thing. So like it had that background. Like it was a licensed product. So it was based on licensed game. Like before the like Muscle stuff was kind of just based on those little figurines, right? But there wasn't a big franchise. But this one was based on a sequel series that actually came here. So
yes, that's what I'm seeing here on the box cover. That was on Fox Box. So I guess like the Fox Children's block. And right now the GameCube games goes for about $30. So
yeah, which is on the higher end of
all. Yeah, that's a higher end.
So I guess people liked it.
Yeah.
So. Spoiler alert, I bought Showdown Legends of Wrestling for 3 cents.
You paid 3 cents?
That used to be expensive. We'll talk about Legends of Wrestling. You know what? Let's transition to it now. So, guys, through Legends of Wrestling, Dan, from early beginning, there's three games. The first two are basically the same, some add stuff on. So let's just talk about the first two, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. So, like, the whole story of this game was supposed to be the ECW PlayStation 2 game. Like, the PlayStation 2 Xbox era game.
Yeah.
Made by Acclaim. They had the ECW license. They started work on the game, and then ECW died. So they were sitting there, and Acclaim, you know, we talked about Acclaim all the way through the LGN era, you know, a huge part of their business model had been releasing video games for wrestling. So they're kind of sitting there going, oh, shit, you know, we just lost this huge profit center.
we need to come up with some ideas, and they hit upon the idea, which frankly I think probably was a good idea, and if they'd made better games, they probably could have made some really good profit, because WWE, I think, had to change the way that, you know, they added legends to their video games in response to this series specifically.
Mm-hmm.
They decided, let's get a bunch of old guys, pay them, and put together like a dream roster of old wrestlers in a video game. And they went and got Hulk Hogan, which was a huge deal. I don't know exactly how they were able to get Hogan, because he was also in WWE. There was some crossover between him being in WWE and him being in Legends of Wrestling.
I think there was a deal signed right before he came back.
That would make sense. Like there's a heavy Jimmy Hart influence on
this game. Yes, there is.
All the music for it. So I have a feeling there was an XWF thing going.
Uh-huh.
They might have signed a deal with some of these guys in case XWF took off. This might have been an XWF game.
There's some reruns like that, and like Eddie Guerrero's in the second one, which is always weird. And you explained about...
They happened to sign Eddie Guerrero at that period where they fired him for his drug use.
Yes.
So they happened to get him. They happened to get him signed up.
And they also signed Rob Van Dam.
Rob Van Dam.
Right before he debuted for the Lions.
So they were able to get some guys signed to some deals that allowed them to use guys that ended up actually getting back into WWE, which was kind of a coup, you know, to have Rob Van Dam, because Rob Van Dam wasn't in the SmackDown game that came out that year.
No.
But this game came a little bit after that. But, you know, they ended up actually having a guy that WWF didn't have for one of their video games, which is kind of a unique situation. You can tell the way a lot of the moves are animated that the bones of this was an ECW game, because they have a lot of moves done the way an ECW guy would have done them. So, like, they have the stunner, but it's done the way Mikey Whipwreck did it. They have the Sandman's cane finisher, where, you know, the guy ducks it and then he hits him in the head with the cane. They have the Van Daminator. They have a lot of ECW related moves done the way ECW, like Tommy Dreamer's DDT, the way Tommy Dreamer did it. So they've, you can definitely see the bones of this being an ECW game. And the first game had major issues in the fact that everybody moves around like they're on ice, which I guess is a problem that carried through. It never feels like guys are stepping around a ring. They feel like they're hopping, and there's like this constant weird movement where they're always moving their arms.
Yeah, the animation is always
slowly taking a step forward, and it's like they're never really stepping on anything. It's like the ring isn't really there. It's like they're stepping on a thing that's been plastered behind them. It's almost like an overlay from the 80s that just happens to be behind them, and then the game is happening with these two people. Mm-hmm. The models are crazy.
They're kind of like action figures.
Yeah, there's three models. There's Big Muscle Guy. So, like, Hulk Hogan, and obviously Hulk Hogan in his prime was a very muscular man. But in this game, he looks like he's 600 pounds of pure muscle.
Yeah.
So you either look like that, or you look like a big old fat turd. Like, Harley Race looks like the biggest fat jerk ever. Or you look like the skinniest string bean that ever was. So you have an option of being tiny, a brick shit house, or a fat arse. And that's it. You're one of those three body types. And the way the finishers work is also a little weird, because you flick the R stick. But you have this grapple system where you have four choices based on the four buttons in the front. You hit grapple and then circle, and then he puts you between his legs for a pile drive. You hit grapple X, he grabs him for a belly-to-belly. One of them picks him up on his shoulders. The other one is like a fireman's carry position. One of them is a suplex. One of them is a scoop slam, and then you can go behind them, and then there's, you know, a German, there's a Samoa, and then there's, one more, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. So that means everybody ends up having a ton of moves that they never did in real life, which is one of the... They couldn't really figure out the tone of this game. Did they want to make a modern wrestling where you have all these modern moves, or did you want to simulate 80s wrestling? Because they have 80s wrestling guys doing, like,
Kuma Kunras, as Dusty Rhodes would say, and greetings from Asbury Park, and Emerald Explosions, and...
If you want to do the WWF style in the 80s, I mean, that's like stalling for 10 minutes and then doing moves for like 2 minutes.
Right. It's hard to figure out that they should... I'm not necessarily advocating they should have, but it is a weird tonal thing. Where it's like, oh man, you know, Roddy Piper just hit somebody with a half Nelson suplex. That's awesome. But if you're going to do the finisher, you know their finisher, and it's like, okay, he's going to do a powerbomb. You put him between his legs, and then you flip the thing, and that's fine. But then when you go to do Hulk Hogan's finisher, the leg drop, and Hulk Hogan's easily the biggest guy, especially in the first game, because they didn't really have a ton of other big-name characters. You got to time it just right as he's coming off the ropes and hit that switch and hope that he lands on it, because it's like a 50-50 opportunity. It's at least 50-50 about whether he's going to land on it.
Yeah, you wanted those anime. Like, that's... It's kind of like, you know, I get that you might want to make it seem, if you're playing Hammer for Control, but it just never worked out for me. It just felt clunky to me. It felt like a game with interesting things on it, but I never really enjoyed at least the first one. Now, the second one, they added a bunch of stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, I would say that the main thing that the Legends of Wrestling things are famous for is their reversal system. There's a meter underneath the health bar. And when you go to do a move, this meter starts going, and there's a green spot in the meter. And if the guy ends up, if you hit a specific button, you can chain another move after you do your move. That might be grabbing their legs so that they're in a position to do a submission. That might be a pinfall, but it lets you chain moves together. And if they stop the thing in the meter, they reverse it. So you can see exactly what causes a reversal and what doesn't. So... Especially in that era, we've talked about with the SmackDown games, where it just felt like everything got reversed and you never knew what was going to be reversed and what wasn't. To have that meter where you can tell exactly, all right, you hit the thing exactly the way you're supposed to. You get the reversal. That's a neat idea. I'll say that. And it's a huge improvement over the other acclaimed games. The launch codes, the nuclear launch code system. But... when they get to Legends of Wrestling 2, a couple things, they add some more wrestlers to it. Because the first one is basically Hulk Hogan, Rob Van Dam, and Bret Hart, and then a bunch of people you may have heard of? Question mark?
It's kind of weird. I mean, a lot of it was a lot of territory guys.
Yeah, it's like all the Von Erichs and the Sheik, because Sabu's in the game, obviously, because it's ECW, but... guys who were probably big stars. I'm not trying to shit on King Kong Bundy, but in 2003, 2004, people weren't clamoring to play as King Kong Bundy.
No.
WrestleMania 2, or the WrestleMania 2, Legends Wrestling 2 comes around, they add Andre, and they add Roddy Piper, and it's like, okay, we're starting to get a little bit more big names guys, and Ted DiBiase's in this game. So you're looking at it going, oh, they've actually got some names here. They improve a ton of it. Like, the graphics are better. The gameplay moves faster. So the other thing, it felt like when you're playing Legends of Wrestling 1, everything is in slow motion. So when you do that grapple, 5 seconds later, you put the guy between your legs to do a pile driver. And then you do the pile driver. And it's like every single step has, like, this big delay in between. It felt like with Legends of Wrestling 2, they streamlined everything, and everything moves quicker. So it's like they made it... it's a remake of the first game, fixing most of the errors.
Yeah.
They also include a terrible soundtrack, so I hope you like Trapped, because Headstrong, I'll take you on. Headstrong's Take on Anybody plays on a near
console. I heard enough of that song back when it first aired on the radio that I never want to hear it again.
Well, that's all you get is Legends of Wrestling 2. Butt Rock, and then like every 3 matches in comes Trapped. The other cool thing, though, they did was they set up this territory system for the story mode. So you pick a guy, and they divide the country into 5 territories. There's the Texas Territory, there's the California Territory, the basically the AWA, Upper Midwest Territory, the Northeast, and the Southeast. And each area you go to has a specific, has like 20 storylines, and you randomly get assigned one of them. And sometimes, if you're like, you pick Jerry Lawler and you do the Southeast, you always get the Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Andy Kaufman's in the game as well.
Which is great. Yeah, there's some weird, like, a lot of weird roster stuff in here that's interesting, and for a lot of reasons, like, Yeah, like Andy Kaufman's in it, and you know, you get your Andre, Baron Romanowski's in it. A lot of European guys are in European versions, so like Kenner Nagasaki's in there, and Big Daddy's in there, which I think is his only video game appearance.
That was not released. That was not in the American one.
No, it was not. And but you know, Owen Hart's in the game.
Yeah,
which is like his like only post, you know, death outside of that too. That he was on.
And the Bulldogs are both in it, and Davey and Dynamite, which is a cool thing, that he hadn't been in a lot of video games. He happened to miss out on being in a lot of video games, just because of the way timing worked out for a lot of that. But
yeah, Grand Wizard's in it too.
It's a lot more fun to play, and they have all these managers in it, and I can't really figure out why, because managers never really play a big role in anything, but they got them. there's another thing. We've actually talked about it on when we talked about one of those WCW games where you could motion to the back. This game has a motion to the back, so if your guy has someone in a faction with him or a tag team, you can flip. I think it was the select button, if I'm not mistaken, and he waves. He'll wave to the entranceway, and then out comes somebody to come interfere in the match, which. That's the most Attitude Era thing. Late 90s era thing. That had to be in the video game. It's kind of really fun to play through the story mode and get to the end, and then once you've completed all the territories, you go wrestle in the world wrestling thing. And then you can become the ultimate champion, and when you become the ultimate champion, you unlock some videos, which... Some of them are kind of interesting, like Terry Funk talking about his career, and Harley Race giving an interview about his career. And the Creator Wrestler is much improved from the first one. But I will say the Creator Wrestler in all these games was pretty cool in that there's so much to customize. Like, it's not quite No Mercy level of customization as far as, like, moves and stuff, but it's closer to that than some stuff. You've got a lot to play around with, and you can make your, you know, obviously there's guys who couldn't be in the game because they're in WWE. They make it pretty easy to put them in there. They have Ric Flair stuff. They have Steve Austin stuff. They have Shawn Michaels stuff in there. You can always, like, put those guys into the game, which is important because you're wanting to have all the legends. So. Overall, I would say the second one is by far the best of the series. And it's actually... a playable, decent game. And if you want to have the fun of playing as, like, Roddy Piper, or a lot of those guys haven't been in a lot of video games, it's the one to pick. Because you can, yeah, it's Roddy Piper, and I'm Bret Hart, and I'm putting the sharpshooter on Baron Von Raschke. Or Hacksaw Jim Duggan is feeling the terrible fate that befalls all the enemies of the Von Air. So it's a fun game. I will stand behind Legendary.
Yeah.
And my experience is I played it and I don't remember any of it.
I replayed Showdown before, which is the third one, which is actually a lot different. It kind of went for a more like a realistic kind of thing. And it had a whole bunch of, like, the roster for Showdown is kind of crazy. Too bad the games isn't that fun, but, you know, it's kind of a crazy roster.
It's the last ditch to... I mean, because I have a feeling these games made profit because they kept making them. And Acclaim mm-hmm. wasn't doing well, so...
They went bankrupt.
Yeah, Showdown felt like their last gap.
Showdown was the last Acclaim game ever, I think.
Yeah,
and it wasn't finished. You know,
no.
It's half broken. There's a lot of... It seemed like they tried a few things. Like, Bret Hart he gives you tips... which tells you how to play the game. You should look at those, because it's super funny, because you can just tell Bret Hart a piece of paper to read, and he just reads it, like, with no emotion whatsoever. It's like, to get home, press the action. Like, Bret Hart doesn't care about video games. He's an old man. Like, he's like, I don't know if Bret was grandpa.
I'm not so sure Bret Hart can use an iPhone, let alone... explain how to play a video game.
Video games are ruining the business. I'm sure he said.
I'm pretty sure Bret Hart uses the really fancy flip phone that you can dump in the toilet, and it's okay.
Yeah. But it is
the roster for Showdown is insane. It's by far the greatest roster ever assembled for a video game, for wrestling video.
And they got theme songs and stuff, too, that they really used. So, like, wrestlers had some of their own songs, and they had Gary and Mike competitive duty announcing, and they had Zbysko and Heenan and Tony Schiavone doing the announcing. And this
and
is
that
like,
sounds pretty cool, but this is after Bobby's had his surgery.
Yeah, so it's kind of depressing. It's
horrifying in some ways.
Yes. You know, yeah. it's still Bobby, but whatever. It's just like announcing, like in all those games, but.
And it's broken announcing because they say things out of nowhere that make no sense, and it's like comments are randomly firing. They don't really have anything to do with what you're doing. It's just like, well, it's 5 minutes and 43 seconds into a match, so Tony says this. Hello, Bret Hart. You know, that kind of horrible, early SmackDown era commentary.
Yeah.
Still better than SmackDown, just bring it.
I think it's about the same.
No, it's better.
But you can play this game, and it's got Dusty, it's got Randy Savage, it's got Jake the Snake, it's practically anyone who was not employed by WWE as under a Legends contract is in this game.
Yeah. And Hulk Hogan has his American main theme song in it.
Yep, that was one of their innovations of this game is that you could have multiple themes because when you played the last SmackDown games, they had the whole Hollywood Hogan attire in the game. But then he still comes out to American Made, so you're like, well, this isn't what I want. And, the Steiner brothers are coming out to the Michigan Fight song like they did in 1987. Yeah, but in this game, it's like, oh, guys who had long careers had different gimmicks. They have different theme songs. So, like, Scott Steiner has Sirens as well as Michigan Fight song. So, that's pretty cool. It's just like it's a game that's just not finished because you go to play it and just nothing. It's like moves don't connect. You'll stand over a guy and then they'll suddenly pop up and flip to the other side of the screen. You'll hit a move and a guy will immediately like just appear on top of a turnbuckle. Like it's just full of bad glitches that ruin any real attempt to try to have fun with it. And it's just
yeah.
Okay. It's just a shame that the company went out of business, and they might have made a decent game if they'd had time to finish it.
It made me sad. And, it's a fun roster. It's like, I want this to be good because the roster is so cool, but the game is not cool. So just watch those Bret Hart videos, and that's probably all you need to do.
But the one lasting legacy of these games is every SmackDown game, from the time the first one came out, had Legends in it from then on.
That's
and they
true.
Actually made up a full, Legends wrestling game of their own. They've always been guys in every game since because they figured out, there's a market. People want to play some of the old guys because the Legend of Wrestling games did well enough for them to go, boy, we need to get a piece of this.
Yeah, and there's been a good, they released Legends of WrestleMania a couple years after that, which. Based on the SmackDown series with a couple of fun stuff. I don't play much of that, but
that game was terrible.
I played a little of that.
Legends of WrestleMania was a pile of shit. Because we rented that, some friends of mine were like, hey, let's play a wrestling game. This will be fun, right? We got to rent it, and then nobody knows how to do anything. And the how to do a finisher involves like seven. What are those things called where a button comes on the screen and you got
to. Quick time events.
Yeah. To do a finisher requires three quick time events apiece, and we were just like, fuck this.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember playing this, and it wasn't a fun game to play. I mean, it's just kind of boring, and like you said, a lot of quick time events string the matches, and that's not fun in any way. I mean, the concept is cool, and it looks a little better than, or at least looks newer than other SmackDown games during that time, but it just wasn't that fun to play. I mean, just no.
Yeah, I know. I didn't ever end up playing it too much.
Especially, like I said, the majority of the people who wanted to play Legends of WrestleMania were probably older people who stopped watching wrestling as much, probably weren't playing the wrestling video games as much, because we rented that game, we were probably all 17, 18 high school seniors.
Uh-huh.
And it's like most of us hadn't watched, I mean, I think I was the only person still watching wrestling in the group. I was the only person who played a wrestling game in forever. So like we weren't all sitting there going, oh man, we all are up on, we're all up on our wrestling video game skills. Like that's a game that needs to be just pick up and play the arcade, simple de dimple, and it was not. It was shit.
Yeah, they didn't do it right, but they did it right later. But we'll get to that. Yeah, it's interesting. But let's go back a few years first, and so I always found that the PS2 and GameCube was a very transitionary era. You know, a lot of people were trying some stuff, and, you know, SmackDown was the PlayStation one, but you know, there were other ones, and that's where it gets bad. So let's talk about the GameCube. Yeah, you know, decent system. A lot of stuff going on with it. I don't know.
Melee.
Fucking Melee.
Come on.
In your face! Man, no, it's fine. I just don't, you know, Final Destination, no items. That's how I play.
Also, Fire Emblem. if you have Fire Emblem for the GameCube, you have a game that's worth like $100. That's like really, really, really expensive now.
Talking about good games. That's
no.
WrestleMania 18, one of the last games to have the WWF license on it. Maybe the last time.
I think it was, because I think they had to change it.
Yeah, they changed it.
They had to pull this one from the market.
Yeah, I remember that. Labels
on it. Give a new cover, yep. Came out on June 9th, 2002. And it was made by our good friends at Yuke's. And, well, a lot of these games seem to try to emulate the Ozaki games, and this is one of them that also tried to do that. The big problem is it wasn't very good, and it's a lot of the games, especially the early ones, we'll talk about Raw more about after this, but they all seem really rushed and really quick to be made. Like, it seemed really, really lazy. Like, there was no extra menus, like, extra modes, it was just whatever, you know, the single tag, whatever, and it was. Then there was just like a beat everyone to win. It's just like 18 is. It just.
Now that I've played the SmackDown games feel more full fledged, and these games don't. Like in terms of options and what you can do.
Yeah, I think these games were all sort of doomed by the fact that they went away from Aki.
Yeah.
It meant that the new publisher every year was trying to come up with a new, just basic grappling system, which mm-hmm. meant you had to spend all your time on that, and then putting out the extras you couldn't. Whereas with the SmackDown games, they kind of figured out the gameplay, got that down pat, and then were just able to everything else. Until you pretty much had a pretty cool game there by the end. When they did blow up the grappling, that was the one thing they did that year. They didn't try to do that plus 75 other things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why those games felt a little bit more cohesive and better simulation than WWE on television. Whereas some of these is just like trying to reinvent the wheel every year.
Mm. Yeah. I don't even remember 18 and 19. I mean, I bought both, and I played them, but I don't... There's nothing long-lasting, like, in terms of remembering, like, if I liked it or not. I mean, I just don't... What I remember about 18 is that they were the first ones, at least for me, because I didn't have a PS2, but they were the first ones that... Yeah, 18 was the first one with Invasion Guys. But this was released like right around No Mercy or No Way Out when the NWO debuted. So they had the NWO. I think they even had Shawn Michaels, but it was like a bunch of weird music edits. Like they didn't have the NWO music.
Yeah, they used to fake NWO. They had they used the WF Ric Flair song.
Yeah. Just a lot of cheap music. Rip-offs, and just didn't feel like the same presentation that you'd see in SmackDown games. Just felt kind of off.
And they didn't really have a story mode for 18, or a career mode. It's
don't
just
think
like
so.
You pick a title and you win some matches, and then at the end, it's like almost old-fashioned arcade, where it's like, okay, I'm going for this belt, so I'll beat a bunch of guys, and then I get the belt. And then, yay, I've got a belt.
Yeah.
And you didn't do anything with it or anything.
It's just, I don't want to editorialize too much here, but I feel like these wrestling games work when they're more based on a sports game than when they're based on another other genre of games. Because when you play a sports game, it's like everything's built around winning the thing at the end of the season, and then the next season starts, and you can go on and on and on and on and on. If you want to. If you don't, you can keep starting over with somebody else. And you know, I know some people play Madden and like they make it to 1 year and then they start over with another team because they get bored. But when you have that kind of story mode built in, it's a lot of replayability. When it's just win some matches and then you get a title, well, okay, you play that for 2 days, 3 days, you do a rattle and then you send it home. Because you've done all there is to do.
Yeah,
it just, it didn't really work. It's kind of boring. It just, And 19 pretty much had the same kind of feeling. Like you said, it was kind of like an hockey game in the sense, at least that's what they were trying to do, where it had like that, you know, that strong and short grappling system, like you press for one type and then you hold for the other.
It just made one big change from 18. It was one pretty big difference between WrestleMania 18 and WrestleMania 19.
Well, there, so basically,
there's something called revenge mode.
So basically what happens is, yeah, so basically they had a story mode in it. So essentially, the difference between them is more full, but there's a couple weird things, like, in those, I think, you know, like Scott Steiner and Goldberg in it, stuff like that. But, so yeah, so revenge mode is their story mode. So instead of saying, you know what, people like going for titles and storylines and wrestling, that's boring. That's stupid. So basically they had what's called revenge mode. So here's the storyline. Your wrestler, whoever you want to choose, gets fired and you get thrown out. At that point, Stephanie McMahon hires you to ruin WrestleMania for his revenge.
And if you're a wrestling fan now and you don't remember this period in WWE, Stephanie was they're trying to make her a beloved baby face.
Yes. Eric Bischoff was the heel general manager, and Stephanie McMahon was the face manager that everybody liked.
Yeah.
So you were supposed to like, they were trying to go out of their way to make you like Stephanie. Like, yeah, she's good. You like her, right?
Yeah.
And so when you hear this story, keep that in mind.
So yeah, face general. So basically, yeah, you get hired and basically destroy WrestleMania. Basically, that's like the only one thing he cares about, like WrestleMania. So you get a list of missions to stop things from happening. So, you know, things like making sure that merchandise can't be sold, making sure that, you know, WrestleMania can't be constructed, making sure, you know, like they can't drive the trucks or whatever. Now, the problem with that is to get that done, basically, so, you know, first of all, okay, fine, people don't like to go in and get championships and those storylines based on wrestling rings. That's stupid. But you know what would be better? If they fought random construction workers. Which is what happened. To stop things from happening, you would have to essentially murder construction workers and, you know, merchandise people, just random people doing their jobs. You'd have to beat them up and then you'd throw them off buildings and stuff like that, and then it would come up as, like, eliminated, because they were eliminated, of course, from life.
It's like someone said, you know what? That backstage assault had it figured out. We just gotta give them a reason to have all that backstage assault. We'll come up with a story for why you're wrestling in places that aren't wrestling rings. Because when you have all those fights with the construction people and whatnot, it's just like a wrestling match, except on top of a building.
So in Vince McMahon's world, even random construction workers know wrestling moves. And,
they're masters of the suplex.
Sure.
So, the first couple times, and you know what, that's funny. And you know what, beating up people, and you can choose everyone. I always chose, like Scott Steiner. whatever.
Well, he would go fight. You know what? I would be surprised when they did fire Scott Steiner if he didn't show up and beat up a construction guy outside of an arena once. That seems like a Scott Steiner thing to do. This is how I'll get back on WrestleMania. I'll beat up their merch truck guy. Then they'll have to let me back.
So yeah, you'd have to. It's essentially him beating up people and breaking cars and stuff like that. You know, that sounds fun at first. And you know what? It's funny at first. And you know, Chris Benoit's in the game. If you want to be really bad taste, he's there.
Jesus.
But essentially, it got to a point where you just. It'd be you versus, like, four other people. So, it was, like, four on a handicap match at the end, and it was no fun, and I don't think I've ever finished it.
At some point, one of the things you do to ruin WrestleMania is that you reveal to the world that wrestling is fake. Yep, really? That's the thing you do in a wrestling video game.
Wow. I feel like I kind of have to play this.
Keller doesn't play wrestling games, because if he played wrestling... He would have had an aneurysm and died, and we wouldn't have Wade Kelly. And that would be a terrible shame.
I don't remember this.
That it's like you should, like, this is horrifyingly stupid.
I must have not played 19 that much, because I don't remember this. I mean, I remember Revenge Mode now, but I don't remember, like, getting that far. Like, this is like some weird scenarios.
Yeah, well, you had to go to the mall, and you had to go to, like, the office, and you had to go to the deck, and it involved just killing people until you got to a wrestler, and then you'd have to kill The Rock or whatever.
Mm.
Okay. It's a game, it's a wrestling game based around murder.
Huh.
Legit.
Obviously, it's much like the Elder Scrolls games. When you join that Dark Brotherhood, you never know where that's going to end up at. You start killing some people. Who knows, you might have to kill your friends someday.
Except they're just random people. They weren't doing anything, man. Like, I don't know. Silly stuff. So after that, they kind of kept with it and, you know, made some changes, and they went with Day of Reckoning 2. Now, Brian, you played these before, and you actually played them to get prepped for the show. So what are the differences? I haven't played these games before, ever.
Well, I don't remember, like, how 18 or 19 played. I played a little bit of Day of Reckoning the other day, and I liked the grappling system and the fighting system and all that. I mean, I needed to play through this tutorial, but once I got through that, it was pretty easy to play. The story mode in Day of Reckoning 1 is just a general kind of like, you get called up after you fight in development, so for a while you go through the whole Raw storylines and angles and stuff, and eventually, I guess your goal is to go to WrestleMania and fight Triple H for the title.
Of course.
Yeah, because, you know, Triple H was the god of Raw during that time.
2004, yeah.
Yeah. And then in the sequel, you lose the title to Triple H because, of course. And then during that storyline, the World Heavyweight title goes missing. And there's a big
clue.
Yeah, and you're framed for it because I guess somebody's trying to try to frame you. So in the end, it's a whole big swerve though, as it was Triple H the entire time.
Triple H did it, but he does everything.
Yeah. So eventually, I guess you beat Triple H and you win the title.
Man, again. No wonder all these like grown ass men are like, oh man. Triple H is secretly sabotaging Vince McMahon to get him fired. Like, they grew up on these video games where, like, he does all the horrible things.
Yeah.
You play this game and you're 11, then when you're, like, 20 or whatever, you start going, yeah, I bet Triple H is intentionally making WWE bad so that Vince gets put in a home. Yeah, I'm sure that's what's happening.
I should also note that there's no voice acting in this game. Not on Day of Reckoning. I don't know if Day of Reckoning 2 did. I don't think it did, but it's just very weird seeing all this text boxes and stuff. Because you're kind of used to like hearing voices in SmackDown, but not in this game, or either game, to be honest. The graphics look pretty good. but I mean overall I kind of like the game, but it's not something I would remember.
The cover is bonkers because it's like it's the center of it is Stacy Keibler, which yeah, when you play in a wrestling game, Stacy Keibler is the number one thing you think of when you.
Well, she's part of the story. Sure. Now, if you want to read the story on the Wikipedia page, and I'll do it here. So basically, the story one is pretty simple. Basically, it's just yeah, you go up the rung of the ladder, then you get the championship. But the story one is really stupid. So the story continues from where Day of Reckoning left off, with the player character at the top of the Raw roster. Almost a year after WrestleMania 20, Evolution has disbanded, and the player's character has lost the World Heavyweight Championship back to Triple H, of course, and has fallen down the ranks of WWE. However,
this is a real Booker T situation.
Yeah,
you lost to Triple H, and then you're curtain jerking with gold dust.
However, the player's character has gained a love interest in WWE Diva and Stacy Keibler.
She always was at the bottom of the cards with the menfolk she picked on television. So you're like David Flair or Test or some fucking goober.
Who's in the Hurricane?
Poor Stacy never got to date anyone on screen. Who wasn't a complete joker?
She got George Clooney, so, you know.
In real life, sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So she wins. Alright,
I'm saying Kate Fade Stacy Keibler. Horrible dating life.
Yeah. And 1 month before WrestleMania 21, Triple H loses the title in a controversial match with Chris Jericho, and the title is now up for grabs. In an attempt to increase the show's ratings, of course, General Manager Eric Bischoff decides to host a mini tournament. I don't know what makes a tournament mini, but whatever. For the World Heavyweight Championship, and the final will be held at WrestleMania 21. The player character eventually defeats Chris Jericho and advances to the final. Triple H and the player character prepare for the finals match before Bischoff reports that the belt was stolen. The player advances in the story by gathering information on the whereabouts of the world title. Because that's what it's
like. It sounds fun.
Soon, the player gets framed for stealing the belt, dumped by Stacy Ohno, and banned from Raw. However, Holla Holla Holla, Theodore Long signs the player for a lifetime SmackDown contract. Eventually, the player wins the WWE Championship, and later finds out that former allies Chris Jericho and Randy Orton, along with Edge, had stolen the World Heavyweight Championship. With the mystery solved, Triple H asks the player wrestler for a title match at WrestleMania 21, the last man standing match for the WWE Championship. The player's character wins the match, reunites with Stacy Keibler, and reforges a friendship with Triple H, returns face, and takes possession of the newly found World Heavyweight Championship.
That is some gobbledygook nonsense.
Well, this is a happy ending.
Yeah.
It's
a happy ending of a WWE game.
There's no happy endings in WWE right now. So at least you could play that and you could be friends with Triple H and all that.
This is kind of a window into why they think Sheamus winning is fine and why like they think Roman chasing is a good idea. They think a happy ending in 2000 and what was this year? 2006. Everybody was dreaming about with Triple H having the world title again.
Yeah.
He still had post-traumatic stress disorder over the last one.
For some reason, I thought it was a swerve and Triple H had the title the whole time. I guess I thought wrong.
The swerve was you were always dead. You were, you were David Von Erich the whole time. Yeah.
Whatever. You know what? At least it's the original story. There's always some weird stories. Like, there's one of the stories from one of the WWE, SmackDown vs. Raw games, was like, WCW comes back, and then Triple H has to save WWE from WCW.
Yeah.
So I will say, when the SmackDown era games would put in a weird storyline, it was like, those games would have, like, multiple storylines going on, and it would be like, okay, here's one weird one. Like, I remember there was something involving Edge becoming possessed by an alien or some shit. And, like, there was always, like, Undertaker storylines. Like, all the stuff that Undertaker would say no to, they put in the game. So it's like, oh, he's a dark wizard again. They always loved making him an evil wizard again when it came time to do the video games. But it wouldn't be, like, the only storyline mode in the whole game is fighting Undertaker's dark warlock powers. It would just be, like, one thing that would go on for, like, 5 weeks, and you move on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so much with the GameCube game.
Yeah, this was like the entire story mode. Encompassed the entire, like, yeah, the entire story mode. I mean, SmackDown, where you get a few scenarios, this one you had to play this story.
Yeah. It was what it was. Did you ever end up playing Rumble Roses?
I didn't. I remember it was I would have never gone for such a thing.
Yeah.
It's just my personality. Because I would have been incredibly embarrassed to even walk out of a store with that game.
So, yeah, Rumble Roses was basically, it was Here Comes the Pain with women in it.
Not the women's wrestling that people are clamoring for in 2015, either.
This doesn't have Minami Toyota or Aja Kong.
They're all made-up wrestlers.
Okay.
Fry Konami. So, yeah, it's just... It was... Basically, that game, I thought it was different. There's a couple games that you kind of really have much to talk about. There's a face-heal system. Like, there's a weird system that way.
It's a clue into why maybe Japanese women's wrestling isn't getting over as much in the 2000s as it did at one time. Because I think the Japanese culture went a different direction. I mean, it's a fetish game.
You think about how popular All Japan Women's was in in the early 90s, and then see a game like this come out about 10 years later. And you're like, well, this isn't All Japan Women. This is something completely different.
It's a bunch of characters in fetishy type outfits.
Yeah.
A schoolgirl and the nurse and the whatnot. And then they'll do moves that, like, expose... I mean, there's never any nudity, but it's like, well, her legs are bent open. Well, look, her chest is showing. Well,
it's kind of like a less perverted Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball game, but with wrestling.
You could, I remember in Rumble Roses XX, I think you can just kind of looking up here, I think you could, like, unlock, like, bikinis and stuff for them.
Yeah.
What are those creepy things that people pay women's wrestlers in the indies to do?
A lot of things.
You know what I'm talking about. Those staged matches or whatever they call them.
Yeah. Like naked wrestling or something?
No, it's like they'll pay, like, a lot of these indie women supplement their income. They'll get paid to do these things, and, like, some guy will pick two wrestlers and then pick their outfits, and then they'll have, like, a really fetishy type of wrestling match. I feel like all those guys played Rumble Roses when they were 12.
Seems dumb.
It's like, whoa! And a deep fetish was awakened within them.
Not to kill Brian Alvarez stuff, but, like, imagine in 2015 thinking about that. Like, I don't know. It just seems weird to me. Like, the internet exists, man. Come on. Don't be crazy. It's a lot more money to pay for that. Come on.
It's a horrifying subculture.
Yeah.
This is like a window into, like, you're borrowing somebody's computer and you find a folder you weren't supposed to find. And it has things in there that you did not expect to see. That's the entire experience of Rumble Roses. It's like, this is weird. I don't know.
Be fair to Rumble Roses, the gameplay in it is not too bad. I think I looked at some gameplay stuff before that's just kind of prep for it. Here comes the game with the women on it. So it's not as... I mean, it's off the edge a little bit, actually, but, it's not...
Especially saying, this strip club has the best scrambled eggs. You've got to...
No, but this is the wrestling... But that's not exactly the same. I mean, this wrestling game has good wrestling game.
I guess. It's just a weird thing. It's weird. And I would judge you. I would judge someone who said, oh yeah, my favorite game is Rumble Roses. There would be so much judgment coming from me.
Yeah, I never played it. I wasn't interested in that. I mean, surprisingly enough.
Oh boy, if you were on wrestling forums in this time, you saw lots of signatures with Rumble Roses gifts in them.
That's true. I do remember that.
Boy, oh boy, did you see lots of people on wrestling forums who liked this game?
Yeah.
It's weird, and I can say that, and I own multiple Hot 70 Miku games, and even I think it's weird. So take that for what you mean. Do you guys play the Game Boy Advance wrestling game? Game Boy Advance or DVD game?
I played a little bit.
Yeah, I played, I had Road to WrestleMania X8, and I ran the Survivor Series.
Yeah.
They were okay. I mean, they were kind of like these weird, like two-thirds kind of view. Was weird, like, so I think the first one had, like, weird 3D models and stuff on it, too, like, fake 3D models. But, I mean, overall, I think those games played pretty well for what they were. I mean, you know, they're Game Boy wrestling games.
The main gameplay was sort of ripped off from the old Aki WrestleMania 2000, because you climbed up the roster, like you, where that one has, where you started at the bottom having matches on feet and then slowly advanced your way up. It felt a lot like that one, except the gameplay obviously was totally different because it's Game Boy Advance, and the roster felt weird to me because I couldn't figure out what exactly the year was where they nailed the roster down. Because you've got Taz and Raven, but I felt like you also had Randy Orton in it, if I remember correctly. I might be wrong there, but like it felt like there was a weird mix of wrestlers in it, if my memory serves.
It might have been like right after the brand split, because that was when all those guys were on the roster. That's what it sounds like.
It would also have guys in like
attires that they weren't wearing, like Kane was dressed not the way Kane was dressed then, and The Undertaker looked weird compared to how he looked on TV.
That might have been because of technological issues, probably.
It could be. And it also might have been when they started it, guys looked a certain way, and then they didn't have time to fix anything. I don't know, I was never really much of a Game Boy player, period. I had a Game Boy Advance at that point, but I never really bought a lot of games for it, and I kind of ended up being a waste of money. So sorry, Mom and Dad, in 2002, 3, 4-ish. I never really got the appeal of it as much.
I was way more into Pokemon Fire Emblem than WWE Road to WrestleMania X8, surprisingly enough. I don't know why.
I feel like affordable video gaming died for me when the Game Gear died.
When
I was a kid, I threw my Game Gear against a wall.
That put a fucking hole in your wall then.
Yeah, that thing was gigantic.
Yeah, because of Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
That was a big battery killer too. It had like six batteries to like for a few hours of gameplay. Wasn't it like that?
It was six double A's for about, I think, 5-6 hours.
Pretty much the way I always ended up playing Game Gear was like in the car or like on a camping trip or something. So I always had it plugged up into a wall or into a socket.
That's
and then
like
if that little cord moved just a little bit, no power. Oh, and you don't have batteries in it, so it's game over. But best baseball game ever made. And it'll be Players Association Baseball from 1991. Yeah, we'll say that.
Players Association Baseball.
Yep, they didn't get the Major League Baseball teams, but they got all the players. And then it was just like generic Boston with the Bullets and the New York Blue Guys.
Yeah, so but
it actually had, like, Nolan Ryan and all the players in it.
It's always weird to me. Those ones are always weird to me just because of how they got one license and not the other. Like, that never would happen now.
Yeah, and I think it worked because back in the olden days, the graphics were shitty. It's not like you can get that Houston Astros logo or the New York Yankees pinstripes in the game anyway. You just get the players and put them in a blue uniform. And you don't got to pay those other guys. Just save money.
It's just weird to me. I mean, Tecmo Bowl is my favorite, and it's just the same thing.
I didn't even realize that they didn't have the licenses for the teams until maybe 4 years ago when I thought about it and realized that they never said Yankees. It just said New York, and they never said Braves. It just said Atlanta.
Yeah, but who cares about that? You're right.
So I never realized it.
You can't really see the difference. I mean, that's basically Nintendo. I mean, there wasn't really much else. I mean, they had some ports for the SmackDown games like that, but there wasn't really much original games after that. It seems like all of them tried and failed to kind of make their own thing, which is kind of where we get to the Xbox ones, WWF Raw and WWF Raw 2, which one thing again, Raw, the first one came out around the same time as WrestleMania X8, and it kind of played, they're all kind of played out the same kind of clunky way. Like, you were going on about how, Dan, about how, like, the wrestlers walked in Legends of WrestleMania, or Legends of Wrestling, I didn't say anything you did. Or how they kind of walked like they were coming on nothing, and they just kind of walked like weird robots with their arms moving way too much, but nobody actually does. And that's how it felt with those games, too. Like, just clunky walking, not a lot in them. Like, it kind of felt the exact same way, where it just didn't play well, and it just, like, had really bad music. Like, it's like, okay, here's a couple match types, here's okay-looking wrestlers for the time, we put the theme songs in, here's kind of that same hockey system, but way worse. I guess that's it. Go crazy. We're not going to try to add anything. That's for the first round.
I feel like a lot of early, not just the wrestling games, I think this is a big issue in a lot of early Xbox games, where they spent so much time hyping the Xbox as this is the best graphics system you could ever buy. Like, this is as good as the PC. When the Xbox first came out, I was like, you can play games that look as good as the PCs do.
That's what I thought when I first saw Raw for Xbox. That looked like really, really good. But then I never really heard about how it played.
But a lot of those early Xbox games, like, they looked great. You could play them and they were just ass.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a few years before the Xbox really had some solid games. And then when they got them, they were great. The Xbox had a multitude of great games, but those early Xbox games were pretty rough, and this was no exception.
Blinks the Cat.
This is an impossible game to play and have any fun with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a misery. And like, you know, like Brad said, nobody moves right. Like, they look great standing still. And they got all the pyro, and they got all the lighting exactly like a WWF show.
Mm-hmm.
And all that presentation is perfect, and then when the guy moves, he looks like he's either going to shit himself or he's a robot.
Well, isn't that why they do motion capture? So I guess they didn't do any for this game?
It definitely didn't seem that way.
Yeah, they don't move like they're being
motion. They move like a robot. And it's not meticulous, like, because, like, games like the Aki ones, for instance, where it didn't use motion capture either, but they were really crazy about getting the motions all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to go that way, you've got to be meticulous. And it seemed like nobody other than Aki were really meticulous. So, I don't know if it's the right move.
Yeah.
When you pick this game up, is it... on the cover, it's got the 2002, the Spike TV era WWE Raw logo.
Yeah.
But then when you play it, everything is like the 2000, 2001, 99 era WWF stuff. Like the old set. And it's like, well, like if you're picking up a game in 2002, you're wanting to see the latest and the greatest. And you're getting old-looking shit.
You know what? This looks like, it was like the roster like before the invasion.
Yeah.
It was a very outdated game by the time it actually came out. Like, I'm thinking it might have came out on the PC first, then it got ported to Xbox, but I'm not sure about that.
That would make some sense.
Let me see.
There was a PC version.
There was.
September and October.
It definitely did come out because I had the PC version.
Okay, let's see. Okay, you know what? Actually, the Windows version got released later in October 2002. On the Xbox, it came out in February 2002. So that explains why. Well, it doesn't explain why the new logo's there, but it explains why the old set is there. So.
Yeah. I think this is one of those things where they spent way too much time putting in the arenas and the lighting and all this shit that at the end of the day, if the game's fun, you'll ignore all that.
Yeah.
And if the game's not fun, you don't give a shit about how good all that is. And then when WWE changed their set, they were like, well, we spent We spent 4 months designing that, you know, making that look right. We don't want to change it. We can't. We don't have time. And they got stuck with this stuff that they spent too much time on and they shouldn't spend that much time on in the first place. They should have spent their time making sure the game was fun to play. You can't even hardly grapple. It's one of those games where the grappling is so clunky and so cumbersome to pull off that you end up just spending the whole game running into people and clotheslining them or just punching them. And I guess that does simulate a wrestling match, but I kind of wanted to do a gut-wrench suplex at some point. I'd like to do a headlock takeover. I want to be a scientific wrestler, you guys. And this game won't let me.
Yeah. Well, it didn't really get much better in the second game.
I've had an Xbox, but I don't remember playing any of these games for some reason. I guess I just wasn't into it. Like, playing the Xbox. I guess I was more into GameCube back then. I don't know. If I played them, I don't remember them. So that about tells you what I think of these games.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
Says a lot. In a lot of ways, they're kind of like a spiritual successor to Mayhem. In the sense that they look great until you see people move, and then you're like, why is he squatting like that? And then when you try to play him, you're like, oh, this is broken. I don't care for this at all.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Raw 2 came with an extra.
2 came out.
Raw 2 is basically the same game.
Ruthless Aggression.
Gotta ask when Ruthless Aggression. Back in 2002, where every storyline for like 5-6 months was, I got Ruthless Aggression. No, you don't. I do. Well, let's fight then. And then that's what happened.
You got meaningless phrase, but yeah. I think they fixed some of the stuff, like reading people talk about, well, you can actually grapple now.
Yeah.
And the creative player was pretty detailed. And they let you edit. It's one of the only games, other than like the No Mercy and the Aki games, that would let you fully edit a superstar already in the game. So like you can take Booker T and put everything on him from somebody else and give him a completely new outfit. Which, I mean, I always wonder why more wrestling games don't have that.
I think you can do that again in the newest games, 2K16.
Makes sense. Like, it seems like a thing that should be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it was just over the... the PlayStation 3 should have been able to do it. The Xbox could do it. You know.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of things in this game that you look at and you're like, God, you can create a wrestler Titantron? Shit, you couldn't do that until, like, the PlayStation 3 era of... SmackDown series games.
Yeah.
Doing it here on the Xbox.
Yeah, this is like it was a better implemented version of a bad game. There was a season mode that kind of ran on forever, and it basically you just wrestle matches and you could choose to do things. So you could choose to talk to people, try to form alliances, whatever. But more importantly, there was two things that you could choose who else to do it to. But mainly, there was two things that me and my buddy did, which were you could steal from people, which means you go under their bag and steal stuff, or you could set traps, which means dropping like a box on someone's head when they walk by, and then like pointing at them, be like, ha, 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 ha. So there was one where basically it was Hogan, so we basically trapped Hogan, and then you go in and like you could steal stuff, so steal stuff from Hogan. Or if, you know, you're prepared, you go and steal stuff from one of the women's bags, and then you just walk away. She's really, really dumb and stuff. But
this game had a choice of referees for some reason.
You could choose, like, the actual referees?
James Hebner, Tim White, the suicidal ref, Mike Chioda, and Nick Patrick. And they each had different characteristics. Like Earl, he's normal. Tim White, he moves around the ring quickly. He's fast moving. Kyoto counts too fast, and then Nick Patrick is slow as shit and takes forever to count.
Wow.
Just like Nick Patrick is, he's always known. Slow count Nick, that's what they call him.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Nick Patrick gets lazy and counts by tapping the turnbuckles too. His slow ass doesn't want to get down on his knees. Tall, gangly ass, lazy bastard.
Yeah. I don't know, those were kind of there's not really too much, I don't really have too much to say with that. I think I rented an Xbox once and finally played through that.
It was a broken game that didn't really make a lot of money, and they had to ditch the series because they couldn't figure out how to do a wrestling game.
There's another game came out after that, which was WrestleMania 21, which was, I think, 2006 when WrestleMania 21. And it was their way to reboot the series. But surprise, it was better, but not much better. It came around the time when the first SmackDown vs. Raw came out, so that one actually, it did have voice acting, and you had another storyline with Renee Dupree, which you did in all these for some reason in that year. I guess Renee was not very busy, so they let him kind of sign to that. So in WrestleMania 21, you played as your creative character, so you'd be like going around, and you had to do that for all of them. You had the generic, like, I'm going to prove that I'm the greatest. I don't know who likes to play with that. Maybe people do. I don't know.
I want to grab a brass ring. Give me the brass.
Yeah.
I'll take all those rings. I'll be Sonic the Hedgehog, motherfucker.
He seems so fucking mean to me. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a heel guy at heart, so.
This is an interesting game because it was developed by Studio Gigante, which was founded by John Tobias, who was the co-creator of Mortal Kombat.
Yes, yeah, when he left.
Yes, he left and he formed the studio. He released one game before this, then this game, then they went out of business. So I think that tells you how good this game did.
Well, the game was, first of all, it was really bad, but second of all, it was broken. Because they had an issue where the online just didn't fucking work. And they had to replace discs, if I remember correctly.
Wow. Yeah, they couldn't do updates back then, like system updates or whatever.
So, yeah, people who complain about day one patches go, fuck yourself.
I'm right.
Right. In your face, Dan. I remember that very specifically. And Alex Navarro of Dynabomb, who was Game of Thrones at the time, reviewed that. And I distinctly remember that networking error.
I remember
if you have to replace that disc, it's probably bad these days. Like,
the only thing I really remember about this game is that you can like see like there's a new sweat engine and a new like you can see veins and stuff.
We have the best vein, and you know it's not like really Madden thing. It's just like that other game is crap, but look, we have this sweat engine.
Yeah.
It's a whole new experience. The game was mediocre.
So many boys' dreams came true.
Yeah, I mean, it was a vast improvement over the last game for Xbox, but
yeah,
it still
the
was
vascularity is so much better.
Yeah.
So that was the
that's the thing though. They take over this Xbox wrestling. They're gonna make a wrestling game for the Xbox. And they're like, you know, we gotta fix the graphics. No, that was never the problem with any of the Raw games. The models looked fine. They didn't walk right, but they looked fine. Problem was they played like ass. Work on that.
Yeah.
Figure out how to make a game that plays well.
Yep.
That's what these things were lacking.
All three of them. At least from what I've heard.
Yeah, no, they're all awful. They're all awful.
But you know what? To fix all this, we'll put in Power Man 5000.
They all have Power Man 5000, but they think they're putting 20 up too. Like, Power 2 came in 2000, bro. Like, that was a long time ago. You can't throw Power Man 5000 anymore.
And Rise Against, which now that's a different. No, Rise Against is terrible. I get them confused with Against Me.
Yeah, I like Rise.
Two very different bands.
Yes. Yeah, they're just all pretty bad. But you know what wasn't bad? You were talking about Legends of WrestleMania and how that kind of was like a shit game. It's kind of like a bad version, or whatever. How do you guys feel about WWE All Stars? How much did you play that a couple years ago?
I played a little bit of it and I liked it. It was kind of like goofy and completely didn't take itself seriously because you see the models and all that and it looks crazy. I played a little bit of it, and I liked it a lot. Yeah, it was fun. It was something different.
I wasn't a huge fan of it, because I like my wrestling games to be very simply. I want a pro sports build for my wrestling game. I want to see the chaining of the maneuvers, and some drop toe holds, and some short arm scissors. That's what I like in my wrestling
game. Yeah, well, you're dumb. So, yeah, Dungeons & Fallstars came out when they actually tried, when they did basically what they should have done for a casual game. Yeah, like you were saying, Brian, they made the models look a bit cartoony, a little bit more action figure like. Moves are all over the top, so it reminded me, like, if you were thinking back on wrestling moves as a kid, what you saw, that's what they kind of did. Like, people would do, like, flips and backflips to do moves and go up in the air, and people would fly in the air. It was just fun. It was just, like, based on health bars, and then once health bar is down, you go for the pin. Like, it was just a fun game.
The story I told about us renting a game when we were in high school, if we had rented this game, we probably would have had a lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
Like, I can... This is not what I would personally play, but in a group of people, yeah. You want a simple, easy to pick up, look at some shit happening, ain't that something? Oh, man. Dusty Rhodes just jumped it off the auditorium. Landed on my head.
And that's what it was. And it was just a fun multiplayer game. And there was a story mode, which was the... It was like three different story modes, but it was all like beat a certain amount to continue it on. But they would have promos in between there, so you'd fight, like, there'd be one with you'd have to fight Undertaker at the end, and you could get promos with Paul Bearer, you know, like really old, like the old, like early 90s, like Paul Bearer promos. It got the mood of that game just perfect. And I really wish they'd make a sequel, because that game was so fun. And Randy Savage did it, and he did a promo for it.
Yes, I remember that.
It was the first step towards Randy Savage having some kind of relationship with WWE again. Obviously, he didn't go into the Hall of Fame while he was alive, but they did the DVDs set like a year after this, I believe.
Yeah.
It was like his best matches already. If you haven't seen that, you should really watch that, because it's old-ass Macho Man Randy Savage, huge white beard, he's still talking exactly like you think he would. It's just that it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
If you can pick up copies on PS3 and Xbox, it's still pretty cheap. So I definitely recommend it. I have been thinking we're trying to pick up another copy again.
Yeah.
It's fun stuff. So yeah, well, let's kind of end this off here. Let's go a bit overseas for us. So just a whole bunch of games that kind of came out in Japan that didn't come out here. A couple of games import and stuff like that. Basically, two main series with kind of two different ways to kind of go through it. The first one that kind of was big was Wrestle Kingdom games, which were based. So, if you kind of remember before when we were talking about old games from years ago, how there would be a lot of. Like, you'd get like one license, so it'd be like the All Japan license or the New Japan license, whatever. And you kind of had to take one the other one. But with these games, they had all the licenses. So, like, Wrestle Kingdom was one of the games, and there was a sequel for it, where it had All Japan, New Japan, it had Noah, it had Freelancer guys in it. So you could have stuff where, like, you have Masawa, and you have, there's just Kanashi's in and stuff like that. Those were kind of interesting games. I didn't play too much of Wrestle Kingdom. It was maybe the same people that made the Day of Reckoning games. But it wasn't like Day of Reckoning. It was a little bit more, I think of it kind of like a more arcade version of that. So not really an arcade game, but like kind of like a simulation, like kind of somewhere in between. Which was really interesting. The other one that kind of came around at the same time, the one that I played a lot of, was King Calls Me. Mostly the second one. So same kind of thing. You're talking all different rosters from all different ones. But it was basically like a 3D fire for wrestling game. So it was one of the games that I imported. Importing games was much, much harder. I remember playing that. It was one of the games that I modded my PlayStation 2 for.
was to get King of Coliseum. So that one I highly recommend, especially if you really like Firepro. Those games there are really interesting. And I think those were all PS2, though there was the Wrestle Kingdom 1 came out for the Xbox 360 as well.
Okay.
Some interesting stuff. The only last thing I think we'll talk about before, and I think we kind of grasped on it before, but I think it's a good way to end it. This kind of whole wrestling talk there, which is probably the best wrestling game of all time, which is Fireball Wrestling Returns. Mm-hmm. Now, did you guys end up, I know you went on a couple different like ways, like the PS3 version. Did you guys end up playing any of that in the last
one? I've played a little bit, but not anything extensive.
I
enjoyed it. It's kind of tough getting into, but once you get into it, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I have it on the PlayStation 3 store.
I
bought it for that, so had it for a while, and it's a heck of a fun game.
Yeah, it
like
is.
It's like the ultimate version of those Firepro games. It's just very, like everything about the games before it put into a package. So it just has everything. The gameplay is there. It's kind of a lot like the old games were there. The roster is huge. One of the main things I used it for was we'd upload a memory card file, so you'd have people who would make the memory cards and then they'd change the names or they add the WCW roster.
And that's even easier now in the PlayStation 3 because you can just download a game, say, just load it on your PS3. That was the thing when the PlayStation 3 came out, and you could do that, and I was like, God, this would have saved me so much time when I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember going through all those games first.
Yeah. I mean, from when I played this, you could play a lot of different modes, and that was fun. It was like, you could try an MMA mode, and I think there was like a barbed wire mode. Like I guess you can do like kind of like FMW type stuff.
Yeah, there's barbed wire, time grenade ones. I don't think there were times, but yeah, they were the grenade ones, which is.
And then the K1 mode. The only thing I think this game's missing that I wish it had was some kind of story mode. I wish. That's probably the only thing missing. Otherwise, it's kind of the perfect wrestling game.
Yeah, there's just so much to it. And that MMA mode and that K1 mode, they're all really, really fun. There's so much to do. And if there's probably one wrestling game that I could, you know, would go with forever, it very well might be that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Firepro Podcast endorses Firepro Wrestling.
Yes, shockingly enough. Well, I guess we can also talk about the shitty Xbox 360 one. But then again, we kind of don't have to. It's basically just an excuse to put your avatars on there and do fake wrestling. It's nothing like the other games. It's not.
No, it's just really weird. I never really understood why that was even a thing. It just seemed really weird to me. It's like, what does it add to add that Firepro name? Except to piss people off.
Exactly.
Like, nobody's just like Firepro. That's what I'm doing. Like, it's a very niche thing, especially here.
Exactly. It's so weird why they went and did that. That wasn't going to appeal to anybody who've ever played a Firepro wrestling game, and it was very much a game geared towards casual people because you know all those avatar kind of games. They're not like anything worth getting into. So if you put pro wrestling on it, it's like you're not appealing towards either demographic you're going for. So in the end, it's just kind of like this generic wrestling game that's really nothing to it. Very generic, very bland. And it's just not, it doesn't appeal to anybody. I don't know why they even bothered.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing as to what they're really going for. That's what you just said, but I don't understand the marketing. I don't understand the economics of that.
Yeah.
Of those decisions.
That's the most recent Firepro wrestling game. I mean, they haven't.
Yeah.
They haven't announced any new version. The video game scene, wrestling scene in Japan is so. I mean, it's popular than it was 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, but it's still like nobody's developing wrestling games anymore.
It's like it got hot a little bit and they started doing some big games again, but it's still like a niche thing. It's not like when New Japan in the 90s, or even All Japan in the 90s, which, you know, people remember the matches, but it wasn't as good in the box office as New Japan was. But,
yeah.
Like, they killed just to have, you know, FMW's business, like, let alone All Japan or New Japan's business.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that big cultural thing. It's niche.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much a niche thing now compared to, like, the huge cultural movement it was in the 90s. Plus, you know, you look at the video game scene today, especially in Japan, it's very much focused on mobile. I mean, the top-selling games there are usually Vita or 3DS games. So, the console games aren't really the thing anymore over there.
Yeah, so, the guy at Konami who made all the Metal Gear games, like, he gets fired.
Yes, Konami. Konami pretty much did, like, the biggest heel turn ever this year. Just, like, a bunch of stuff came out about them. But their focus right now is no longer on big quality AAA titles like Metal Gear 5. It's very much like pachinko machines and whatever works on mobile. I mean, everything is geared toward mobile now. So, there's a new Japan Pro Wrestling game out there. I haven't heard how it plays.
It's awful.
It is?
It's awful. Don't play it.
Well, talk about it. What don't you like about it?
I haven't really played enough to say. I went through, but yeah, I've heard nothing but awful things about it. So.
Mm. Yeah, but
a wrestling game on a mobile phone touchscreen. Surprise, surprise. It's not very good.
No.
Oh, that reminds me. There's one other game looming that we have not discussed.
All right. Well, end it off. Tell us about TNA Impact.
Oh, God.
TNA Impact. It jogged my memory because in the last few years, TNA's wonderful TNA style. Where they pump up, like, they put all these big press releases out for, like, insignificant things they do because they think that's good PR. Obviously, that's Brad could probably talk about good PR better than I can, but they pumped up, like, these phone games. Like, we've got a video game! And it's just like, oh boy, no, that doesn't count. But there is one game they got that counts. TNA Impact. Whew. I guess the story is more of what people know that game for, but came out in 2008, which I think was the high water mark for TNA as a profitable company. It's just before they brought in Hogan and Bischoff and tried to really make a go at competing, but that was the point where they were making money for the first time in the company's history, and they were like, let's do a video game! We're profitable! We're a real company now!
Yeah, video game's okay. The game itself was fine. It wasn't good, but it looked fine, and it played all right. It was a bit mashy and stuff like that. Like, I'm not saying it was good, but
it's made by Midway.
We talked about worse.
It's like a lot of things with TNA. It's just the most generic thing ever in the history of the world. But the storyline depends by one. It involves your character being beaten, left in Mexico, and having amnesia.
Yeah, so basically, you basically were gonna go to win the title, and then LAX comes and says you need to take Don. So it's like some weird fucking what was that movie, Ready to Rumble kind of thing, where they're just like, yeah, you need to take Don, and then you don't. And then they beat you up, and they leave you in a hospital and throw you to Tijuana. And then you forget who you are, and you create your own wrestler. Then you go through the ranks where wrestling is real. So you said Russo wrote it, which I totally believe.
Sure.
So you go and, like, fight in air bases, and then you end up going to TNA again, where you hang out with Kevin Nash, and Kevin, like... you just go through, and eventually you win the title, but it's all, like, they play it kind of real, but fake, where, like, the backstage stuff is real. It's weird.
It's like that Vince Russo wet dream, where the matches, the backstage is real, and the matches are fake, or something like that. This was the birth of the character Suicide. And they hyped this game for months with their with the bad Dixie Carter idea of viral marketing. It was like, oh, the words like "Who is Suicide?" would show up, and whoisuicide.com, and that was the marketing. And surprise, surprise, that didn't work. Like most TNA marketing, TNA's clever attempts at marketing. Nobody thought, oh, this is a bad idea to call a wrestler Suicide. That's kind of gross. Like, Suicide's a heavy thing. We probably shouldn't name him that. Eventually, what did they change his name to? The character?
Manic.
Manic, yeah.
So they ended up actually using this character on TV. Christopher Daniels put on the hood and became Suicide. Suicide, if I can quote a question on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the game, it's one of those games that kind of still kind of felt like an hockey game. There was no submissions in the game.
Well, TNA didn't have submissions, so...
They really had finishes.
Yeah, well...
There was an era of TNA where it was Jeff Jarrett and Vince Russo and what's-his-face, Dutch.
Yeah.
Dutch for the Bookers, and Dutch and Jeff Jarrett had the opinion that if a wrestler gives up in a wrestling match, well, you can't book anything with him ever again. That's as low as it can go.
Yeah.
So they didn't even do submissions in wrestling matches because, well, no one's ever going to give up. So don't do matches. Don't do things that aren't going to be near falls. So just no submissions. Curious move.
I've never heard that. That's really stupid. Just like that game and just like TNA.
All I remember about this game is that the graphics look better than on SmackDown series. But other than that, it's like, whatever. I mean, I wasn't into TNA at that time, or pretty much ever since, except I did some reviews for the pay-per-views at Voices of Wrestling, but other than that, it's like I can't get into their product, because it's, for so many years, it was so terrible, especially during this time when Russo was a full force, so I didn't bother playing this game, and probably better off not playing it. I think
your
there's like
it's richer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was like a PSP port that nobody played. I think there's also a mobile title that's like a sequel to the PSP port nobody played. I think that's all the TNA games.
That's a pattern with TNA stuff. Well, they put this out, nobody watched it or played. And then they put this out, nobody watched it or played. And then they put this out.
I played that mobile game. Hogan was in it. I think it was mostly I don't even remember. It was that.
Across the Line?
Across. Whatever. I think it was called Across the Line. One of them was.
That was my favorite of the TNA buzz marketing things.
What does it mean?
You cross the line.
My favorite was We Are Wrestling, and then the next week they had like 6 minutes of wrestling and a 2-hour show.
I fucking love that because they literally reacted and changed their logo from like a rumored like backstage release. Like it's so stupid. Like they're in a war with themselves. It's so dumb.
I think Cross the Line was we're gonna go against them. That line is gonna be crossed. Just like the night the line was crossed with what was that ECW thing? Is that the Shane Douglas?
Yes, Shane Douglas, Sabu, and Terry Funk.
Yeah. I think. Going to cross that line again.
Yeah.
TNA. What a great way to end the show. Talking about TNA. As always, it always comes back. It will never leave us.
No.
When the TNA.
What happened with that?
Yeah.
ICP, TNA Impact. And what's Brad cooking this Sunday? That's the current story on this podcast.
Yeah, always fun.
And, yeah, I think that's basically it for the show. Lots of stuff to kind of go on. I don't know what's going on next week. We'll figure it out. Something's happening.
I think we're reviewing the next WCW show.
Oh, totally.
Slamboree.
No.
Featuring the great former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, David Arquette.
We're going to slam and jamboree.
We're getting ready to rumble. Which I may force you guys to watch before this. We'll see it.
Before we finish up, you gotta ask this question. You've always ever been to a jamboree?
No.
No.
I'm from Canada, bro.
I don't know what jamboree is.
Canada's got rednecks.
Yeah, but that's like Alberta.
Yeah,
it's not like where they like play music and you eat food and stuff. I mean, that's what I think it is.
Hey,
that's what the South does. It's just like, hey, let's just make up another name for something of eating fatty foods and doing whatever we want at like some like festival. Crazy kids down there.
Go to Stampede too.
We have Stampedes. Not here. But in Alberta, which is the south of Canada.
Have you been to a tent revival?
No.
You gotta go to a tent revival. That's good shit. Somebody lay hands on and you pass out.
This podcast is over. This podcast is over. You can't breathe.
Play the music, Jason.
Alright, we're down. We'll see you next week. We're gonna do something WCW related and we'll see how it goes. So, Brad, Dan, Brian, goodbye.
Bye.